It's commonly thought that one can teach English remotely online from anywhere in the world, thus allowing for a nomadic lifestyle. Has this been your experience?
Nomadic lifestyle? No. It's I actually live in Athens, right? But the truth is that when I visit my mom, she lives like 500 kilometers away. Now it's easier, right? I can go whenever I want to. So, yeah, it helps not to live this way. I've never thought of that. I just thought that, okay, taking my job online. But yeah, that's true. Now you can take your computer and go wherever you want. That's interesting.
That
That's
is
really
very
interesting.
interesting.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, like my sister lives in the Czech Republic, could only go in the summer. So now I can go whenever I want to.
Exactly. That is great that you can travel to various places and also connect with family in those places while you're doing something that you love.
Very interesting and very liberating, I think. People are not trees, right? They can go wherever they want to. And it was always because of work. You couldn't go because you work. We have so many things, so many liberties because of internet. That's nice.
What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your teaching career?
It wouldn't be so difficult, I thought that when I started teaching, I thought that I would change the world. Like everybody would love to learn new information, like learning and knowledge. That's everything. But it's not exactly this way. It's business. I never realized that it was business, that you have to advertise yourself, you have to sell yourself. It's not only about teaching. I thought it was only about teaching that, okay, I can teach. That's all I need. And of course, not that I could teach when I started. I improved through years, but I focused only on this. That's all. It wasn't only about this. It was about talking to parents, talking to employers. You had to learn how to keep the balance. I think this, I'd like to be prepared for something like this. I think I was naive, maybe.
That is really enlightening that you have came to that recognition with being a teacher that you know that you have to advertise yourself. And what did you feel that was most challenging trying to do that with advertising?
Okay, the most challenging for me as an extreme introvert is to talk about myself. I had my website created. The person who built the website, he told me, give me some information about you. I just gave him some two, three bullet points. That was all. And he was like, give me some paragraphs, like talk about yourself. That's the hardest thing for me. Yeah, fortunately, my students talk about me.
That is the best part. Exactly. Your
Yeah.
students love you and all your overall personality. They relate to you, you connect with them, and you just provide such great value to their lives. You learn to use your personality in various ways.
Yeah, this is a good part of this. I think this is also important. I should be able to talk about myself, to develop some other skills, not only teaching skills, advertising skills. If you teach, especially if you teach kids, you are as a role model, not only the parents, teachers are also role models. And you have to show them that you also improve, like you're asking them to take a risk, right? Using the language and improve themselves. You have to do the same thing. That was the most difficult part for me. And I think I should work on it.
Yeah, I think that you're not alone in that at all. Many people are making progress in doing that. And so that's wonderful. You're able to share that honesty to the audience, Tia.
Yeah, the truth is that through seminars I've been doing, the more colleagues I meet, the more people I see that feel this way. So that's true. I'm not the only one. That's comforting. They have to work on it. That's
what cultural norms did you learn while teaching your students in your classroom?
My little one, through years, I learned not to be selfish. One day the kids, they fight with you and they don't talk to you. And the next day they have all forgotten about it. And hey, this, how are you? And this is one behavior that really impressed me. I like that. Like, okay, we had our disagreement. Let's forget about it. Students who supported me, adults, why don't you go out there and show who you are? Why don't you demand more for yourself? And through their behavior, their stories, I saw like, yeah, you can do that. Little thing from that student, a little thing from the other student. And then after years, then you see that you learn a lot. I also saw behaviors that I didn't like, narrow-minded people, but I helped them to see the world a bit differently.
I think those are really great responses that you shared, and a lot of people definitely relate to those in their classrooms, and you provide so much inspiration in that. Did being an English language teacher inspire you to learn a second language yourself?
Like language. Like when I was born in the Czech Republic. The first language I spoke was Greek because I was at home with my grandfather. Then when I was 2 years old, I went to the kindergarten. So I started speaking Czech and I forgot all about Greek. When I was 12, we came to Greece. I didn't speak Greek. I spoke Czech, so I had to learn Greek again. It was kind of from one language to another, but I loved learning language. Another language that I started learning like 6 years ago was Russian. After Russian, Spanish. I like to learn as many languages as I can. I love languages because I think they are the web of the world. We learned about different cultures because some people learn a language and translated it. We learned new recipes, cultures, interesting books, new ideas, all this because some people learned a language and translated these things into our language. I think that languages are really connecting people, and especially English. I think everybody should learn English so we all around the world could communicate.
I love how you said the languages are like a web of connections, and we learn from various things just from someone who have learned a different language and they translated that. The importance of languages and how great that if we're not able to communicate on that one language, there'll be a lot of disconnect. But when we are communicating around that one same language, like English, are being able to translate that information, we'll be more connected.
Because I hear people, they say, I need English for my work. It's not only about work. It's the whole world that opens in front of you. Any language, right? We all can communicate. But if you learn other languages too, it's not only the language. It's the culture behind it. It's the people behind the language.
I see the passion when you're talking about it. It's like something that you can talk in for hours and hours. You know many languages, which is beyond fascinating. Do you teach other languages besides English?
I think it's not so easy to teach a language. It's not only about knowing a language. You have to really go inside the language. It's not easy to do it with many languages. For example, Greek language, okay, I am a native speaker, but I don't think I know Greek grammar as well as I know English grammar. So far, English.
How did you get started as an English language teacher? Talk us through it, Tia.
I always wanted to be a teacher. My mother says since I was in the kindergarten, I never felt it. I could teach anything. It was English. When I started learning English, I loved the language. I don't know why. I just studied English like everybody else, right? Sad story. But first, I decided to teach architecture. But I didn't want to study here in Greece. I wanted to go to the Czech Republic, be near my sister. But that summer, when I was supposed to leave, my father died. So I had to go to work. Back then, okay, I spoke English, but not very well. I decided to continue to study my English. And as I was proving my level, a teacher, she said, why don't you go into teaching? I looked at her like, and teach what? She said, English. buff. Then I thought about it. I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I did my Delta, worked for a language school, then another language school, then business English. And a few years ago, I decided to go freelance.
It's like a really inspirational story. Do you, in your classrooms, do you have a favorite lesson that you taught?
In my classes, what I loved was when I was teaching songs, teenagers. I remember one song by Anastasia. It was very popular at that time. I've never seen a group of teenagers so interested in a lesson. They were really happy about it because they learned a lyric. On Monday, after a weekend, they came and told me, Miss, we went to a party and nobody knew the lyrics, only we knew them. And they were really proud. Yeah, I remember that lesson. The most interesting lessons were those that I designed. Student asked a question and a whole discussion started. Those were the most interesting lessons. For sure, because I guess they talked about things they were interested in. And they were interesting not only because, okay, there was a discussion. They communicated all the things that we want, like teachers, right? My students speak, they talk to each other. After, when I corrected their mistakes, when I taught their systems, grammar, vocabulary, went wrong, what they should have said and stuff like that, they paid attention. Like they really wanted to learn. I realized that if you have a topic, you have something that really interests your students, you have them. They will listen to you. So the most important thing is the topic. Forget grammar. If it's through listening, reading, it doesn't matter. If that interests them, they're there. They will listen to you.
A wonderful takeaway from having a favorite lesson that you have taught, likes with teenagers to really get them engaged. And so that's a wonderful way to open them up, which is something that they do relate, which is music. That's really awesome that you're able to help them to learn the lyrics to their favorite song in English. And they are the only ones that knew how to sing it and they had a great time with it. They knew the meanings in English. So that's really, I think it's interesting how you said that when you teach students that are interested, then they will be receptive to your teaching. Like if you teach those hard topics like grammar, pronunciation, concepts in English. So that's wonderful. You're able to interweave their interests into your teaching.
Because sometimes they, when you say, okay, grammar, they, oh, grammar is difficult. They go like, okay, that really hurts. But, you know, when they read, we're doing simple present. Oh, you didn't tell us. Why? When I start teaching somebody, the first thing I ask them is about their interests. It's very important to know their interests. On the internet, what do you usually read? Tell me. I have a new student. He's interested in classic cars. I found a lesson which they had a video about the Motor Museum in Britain. We did this one and he was like, he knew so many things. Like he started talking. I said, oh, great. I liked it. From the first lesson, when somebody feels comfortable and starts talking, yeah, it gives me courage. Okay, continue.
It's a great way to open them up and to get them to talk is if you talk about their most favorite thing or their hobbies. So I think that's a really wonderful way how you incorporate their interests, what they like on a daily, and also for you because you learned something about them.
No, they don't mind when they make mistakes and you correct them.
What is your motivation in teaching your students?
My motivation. I want them to learn. I want them to improve. The only thing I can tell you is that when I teach, I feel alive. This is why I'm doing it. I feel alive, really. I love it when my students come here and they cannot like structure a sentence. And when they leave, they just can start a discussion about anything. Some of them, it gives me satisfaction. I don't know. I sometimes feel that I was born to teach. Born now, this period. If I was born like 1,000 years ago, I could do the same thing. Mm. I could teach. I don't know how, but this is my mission in this life. And I think I'm lucky I found it.
Wow. I love how you're able to just have that perspective about, okay, I was in another realm and time, you know, in another life, that this is what you were driven. This is what you would be actually be doing, your passion. Like they say, you do something that you love and then it doesn't feel like work.
I think that this is that my father's death played a role in this. That it was then that I thought like, okay, what's life? Like I will be at work half of my day, maybe all day, and then wait to live. no, I will live during the week, not waiting for weekends. And what do I want to do? I want to do this. I went through some hard times because, like, my uncle found me a better job. I didn't want it. I had to work and study at the same time. And I didn't mind. I never complained. Like, I'm doing it. What motivates me is my student happiness. That I feel alive. That's it.
If you feel it, then it will convey your teaching. That should be your motivation. If you feel it, then that life force will connect to your student. They're like, wow, I want to feel just as alive as she does. That's when your classroom becomes even more engaging, even more conducive. I love that motivation. That's a really good one. Because you're sharing. That's what being part of this human community. If we're not able to share what we have that's going to inspire others, then we're not alive. So you're sharing something that is making you feel alive so that that other person can be rejuvenated and be alive just as you are.
Thank you. Sometimes people ask what motivates you, and I really don't have specific.
You have that motivation that you seem selfish, but it's not, because you're sharing it. It'll be selfish if you didn't share it. It can also help someone in substantial ways. Like you said, if they have English, it'll open many, many doors, not just getting that job. They'll be able to access information, other interests, hobbies, communicate with many people from various worlds, and much, much more. And so you're providing that gift is just unlocking so many other gifts for others.
I think this is the only thing I couldn't do, like work and do a job that I hate.
We only have so much time on this earth.
Make something of it.
And don't deny your calling. Your calling is teaching. Then you do that. Have you faced challenges while teaching? And what did you learn from any of them?
Difficult students, but finally they became the best friends. Parents in the past. Now I mostly work with adults, but parents was a big issue to keep that balance between parents and employers and keep everybody happy. Sometimes that was at the expense of the children. That was really challenging. Me in a difficult position a few times, almost losing my job. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm also happy that I stood my ground and
stand your ground in that challenge, and you have overcome that. Inspiration to many others. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you follow in your classroom?
I just get in there and do whatever I feel. Honestly, if you are really interested in your students' needs, you will find a way. Just be honest. Try to understand him or her or your group, and it will work out. You will find a way. I think this is the first thing. Just try to understand their needs, even if they don't understand them. Because sometimes students don't understand what they really need. They say, oh, I need to learn grammar. They know grammar. Or I cannot speak English. And maybe they can speak English. They just need confidence boost. When a student comes, I just need to understand what he needs.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be just to support them psychologically. Right? To make them feel comfortable. Maybe that's all what they need. You never know.
That you just have to meet them where they are. And also you have to take the wheel sometimes, because students don't know what they want. And you're there to dissect that and to pivot them in the right direction to their needs. Do you have a preference in teaching adults or students in your classes?
Now I prefer adults. Maybe it comes with the age. In the beginning, I didn't want adults at all. After years and years, maybe it really comes with the age that you don't want to play anymore. You want to talk about some interesting things. Now I prefer adults, taught all ages. Back then, I wanted kids, I had kids. Now I want adults, I have adults.
Maybe it does come with, you said, with, you know, developing in your age with teaching of kids could be a bit overexertion and take a lot of your energy, while adults, it's a bit more calmer teaching environment. Or that's understandable.
The past, I liked games, you know, playing games. I loved it. Now, it's like I've grown out of it. For me now, it's discussion, ideas, opinions, and can we learn? How can we save the planet, environment? Yeah, these things.
I think that those type of conversations are definitely needed. because you, as a teacher, like a messenger, talking about these various intricate subjects about the environment, cultural difference, you're being an educator. What is one common misconception that you'll like to highlight?
People have to understand that it's a really tiring job. They think, I've heard people telling me like, you just sit there and talk to people. It's not like that. Before the lesson, you can spend a whole time trying to design a lesson and you have this one activity that doesn't fit, but you need to put it there because it's the simple present, the third person that they have a problem, but you don't want to tell them that now you are doing grammar. You have to find an activity that will, they feel that it comes naturally. And you can spend the whole night thinking about it. And as you watch TV and you think about it, suddenly it comes to you and you run to your room and write your idea. Like you think about it all day. All day. When you drive, you have so many things in your mind. You have to take so many decisions. It's a difficult job. It's not easy. It's not only, okay, today I have 2 hours lesson. No, you have also other 6 hours where you prepared. And they thought, oh, 2 hours, it's nothing. It's not only the 2 hours. And during the lesson, you have to think, you have to change your activities. You see that doesn't work. At the same time, you have to think of something else that you can continue without the student realizing that, oh, that didn't work. We have to change it. You know, so many things. Or you prepare to do the, to correct the homework, but they didn't do the homework. So we have to do something. And you want to go to the next topic, but you can't go because he hasn't done what he was supposed to do.
It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of hats you have to wear. The teacher see that, and it's, that's wonderful you're able to highlight that to the audience. Have you ever taught privately, or has it only been through offline and online?
Privately, private lessons, yes, I have. Different type of teaching, but nice. It all depends on the teacher. Because you are not only the teacher, you are also a partner in the pair work. You have to do more things. You have to do things also as a classmate to the student. Sometimes there is a pair work and they say, okay, talk to your partner. And I go like, I'm your partner. Now I'm not your teacher, I'm your partner. Now we are friends. Tell me your secrets. I like variety. If it's only private, it's tiring. If it's only classroom, it's again tiring. Having all of these contexts.
You have to immerse yourself in these various roles when teaching privately. So that's really fascinating. You shared that with us. Majority of your students reside in one country, or are they spread out over the world across several time zones? Does that pose any challenges for you?
I teach Greek students. Students in Cyprus. We share the same L1. I'm thinking of going international, but I'm, you know, taking baby steps. My next step would be to teach Czech students, because I also speak Czech, so slowly. I'd like to go international because I think that if you have students, I've done seminars like this. So, and I loved it. With students teaching English, it's like if they are from all around the world, they can speak only in English, right? So it's like real life situation, right? They have to speak English, there is no other way. I think they will improve much better. They will all bring new things into the classroom, into the online classroom, right? Can you imagine how many things they will share and new information and ideas and... What do you do at Christmas? We do this, and in the morning we have this breakfast and we eat this and that. And today we have holidays, all like you. This is what communication is about, right? Yeah. That's why we learn languages. So we can communicate with people and learn things.
Having access to various students from different time zones, they're able to share their various cultural norms, morning routines, add more variety to the lesson into the classroom. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching English?
It would be nice to have additional income. Well, man, it's not easy, but... Well, man, I think that English teachers and generally language teachers, I really mean it well, but I think they should be respected more and paid more because it's not an easy job, and they really communicating and learning a language is a skill, an important skill, appreciated more.
English language teachers should be paid a bit more because we do a lot and within our professions. Do you employ any warm-ups or introductions in your classes? If you do, would you like to share some with our audience?
Just talk. How was your day? When I see that they are sad, oh, something happened at work. Are you okay? Are they unhappy? Oh, something happened. Have a discussion, nothing special. To relax, to feel comfortable. And then we start. Time. Okay, what do you remember from the last lesson? What did you have? Homework. And let me tell you about this. Oh, have you heard of this? Culture of that lesson.
I think, yeah, keeping it simple, very conducive for the class.
People need to share their feelings. Just talk to somebody. I also feel that this is what they need.
Well, you're able to be confident and also just be a listening ear to your students, especially during these times. Do you have any type of goals for 2022 that you would like to share?
Yes, I have for myself. Make video about myself.
Tia, where can people find you on the internet?
I have a site, but it's in Greek, but they can also find me on LinkedIn. My name is Arkon Tula.
Tell us more about your English language business.
I have this website mostly for Greek students because it's in Greek, and I teach online students, individuals and groups here in Greek. And now I'm trying to specialize in business English for sales professionals. And why sales professionals? Because I really admire their job. I think that to sell something is really difficult. My last student, she was all the time on the phone, on the computer, sending messages, talking to clients, to the employer, to the manager. They have really a lot of communication to do in their job. Doing it in another language is really difficult. So I like to ease that. The last few years, I love business. And people try to communicate really to learn all those sophisticated words. But in business English, it's all about simplicity. Be clear. Be brief. Make the listener feel good. That's it. Because it's not only about teaching them. It's also, what do we say, coaching, like trying to change their mindset about language, which is a never-ending process, right? Whoever learns a language knows that. So you're trying to help them to become independent, autonomous, at 10, 20 hours lesson. Then you will continue by yourself and I will show you how. And business people, I think, needed more. I had a few students who came, I need to learn English. Okay, you use it at work. Yes, I needed yesterday. They tell me I need yesterday.
Thank you so much, Tia, for joining us on the podcast today. It was such a refreshing year sharing with us of your interesting journey as an English language teacher.
Thank you. I thank you for having me here.
That was an end to another show. Please visit the website at www.teachingonlineenglish.com for the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get notifications of the next show. Talk with you soon.